It's time. Time to get inspired and empowered. To realize it's never too late. To create your next amazing story. Get ready to break through, transform, and start living the life of your dreams. So, are you ready? Truly ready to begin your journey to create your next amazing story in life and love? Great. Let's jump in with your host, Life and Love Transformational Coach, Suzanne Oshima.
Welcome to the It's Never Too Late show. I'm Suzanne Oshima, and I help single women transform midlife into their best life and find love again in their next chapter. And today we have a very special guest, Melissa Braverman. She's an author and writer. And why she's so special, ladies, is because I literally interviewed her when she was 39, and now fast forward to today, she is engaged, and she's going to share with us that you can get engaged for the first time later in life. So welcome, Melissa. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you, Suzanne. It's great to be back and great to talk with you again.
Yeah, so, you know, it's really interesting because when I interviewed you back when you were in your 30s, you were brave enough to share with ladies, you know, how to date in your 30s, how it's very different. And, you know, I haven't talked to you since then. And then you reached out to me and you said, I'm engaged. And I was like, oh my God, this is going to be great. We're going to follow up and find out what your journey was like. Because, you know, back then you had shared like dating in your 30s is obviously very different than dating in your 20s. And then you went through a whole journey to meet your fiance. And so I would love to hear what happened since the last time we spoke and what was your journey like going forward?
Sure. Well, when we spoke, it was just before I turned 40. And 40, I will say, was very challenging for me, I think, as it is for a lot of women when you haven't hit certain benchmarks that you thought you were going to. And I remember as the birthday approached, feeling like it was a blinking neon sign that was just getting brighter and brighter, proclaiming you're 40, but you're still single and you don't have kids. And but then the interesting thing was once the birthday passed, I felt like, okay, I'm still here. It's not that traumatic. Life didn't end. And something really kind of shifted for me. I mean, I continued dating, but it was different from dating in my 30s. I kind of feel like in my 30s, I was on a mission. I was like, I have to find a husband. And then when you get to a point where you feel kind of really discouraged and you say to yourself, okay, there has to be more than just being on this treadmill forever. So flash forward 4 years ago, I adopted a dog for the first time, my little Shih Tzu Benji Rescue, although I always say he rescued me. And that was really a turning point for me because I had never had a pet before. And I had gone through kind of a bit of a depression for about a year. And one of my brothers said, you should get a dog. And I was never a dog person. But I figured, okay, you know, let me give it a shot. And it was literally, you know, love at first sight. And I was blessed that he's also a dog that can travel well. So wherever I went, whether it was to see a concert in Las Vegas or go visit family on the East Coast, he came with me, not a bark, not a peep. And also adopting him coincided with finding a job that I really loved. And I would say I was probably happier in that job than I had been in anything else I had done career-wise. So it was like this beautiful confluence of, you know, having that unconditional love and also having something to take care of, feeling content, you know, in my professional world. And I just kind of got to a point, and I literally remember writing it in my journal where I said, I'm done looking. You know, if he's out there, he's going to have to come and find me. And I really just kind of stopped. And I sort of said to myself, I don't think God has put me on this earth to just keep chasing and chasing something that's not going to happen. And I really did, you know, I know it's the cliche, you know, it happens when you're not looking, but I really psychologically got into a different headspace because for years I had tried everything: online dating, speed dating, dating across the country, dating in Europe, 8-minute dating. I mean, you name it, I did it. And I was tired and I just didn't have the appetite for it anymore. And I didn't feel as much of a need because, as I said, the rest of my life had really blossomed. So I just kind of put it on the shelf, and I would occasionally, go on a date here and there, but it wasn't that sort of mission, that urgency, especially once I made peace about the fact that I wasn't going to have children, that stopped. And so what I really put more of my energy towards were doing things that I genuinely enjoyed, not sort of with the mindset of, oh, who might I potentially meet? And that's how I ended up meeting my fiance. I'm a big fan of 80s music, and there's a cruise every year called the 80s Cruise. I've been doing it now for 5 years. And I really wanted to go, and I asked friends of mine, oh, that sounds great. Nobody would commit. I went by myself. And I ended up meeting some really nice people. We didn't meet the first year, but on sailing number three, we did. And that was it. And we literally met a night when I was listening to my favorite New York 80s cover band, Jessie's Girl, that I've been going to see for forever and ever. And I really can honestly say it was the furthest thing from my mind. And we had a beautiful conversation for about 15 minutes, even though he says it was 45 minutes, it was 15 minutes. And then I wanted to go listen to the music, so I excused myself. And we didn't really see each other again the rest of the cruise. But a few days after we got home, he lives in Florida, as I mentioned, he sent me a really nice message on Facebook. We started talking, and that was it. So I think what changed more than anything was me, because I was finally in a place where I was completely happy with where my life was. It wasn't like, oh, it's great, but, or it's great if only. I was really happy within myself, and I had never really come to that point before.
That's interesting. So I remember when I interviewed you back when you were in your 30s. Yeah, you were doing a lot, and you were brave enough to blog about it, about your dating life. And that was awesome. But it's interesting because you shared with us that you stopped doing things, right? And that you really took a step back. But I'm going to challenge you on that because here's the thing. I actually think you didn't stop doing things. You just did it in a different way. Have you ever thought of this? And here's why I say this. It's because when you wanted to go on this cruise, this 80s cruise, right, is none of your friends wanted to go. And you could have easily said, oh, well, then I'm just not going to go. Because a lot of people feel uncomfortable going to things by themselves. But I'm like you. If my friends don't want to go, I'm going to go, right? And so you still kept yourself open by going to something that could have made you feel really uncomfortable. But you said, I'm just going to go have a good time. Whoever I meet, and whatever happens, happens. And I know meeting a man wasn't the first thing on your mind, but you opened yourself up to meeting people. I almost think it's almost better that none of your friends went because I believe that, when we're with our friends, we kind of cling to them and then we sometimes don't go outside our circle. And so do you feel like it almost forced you to go outside your circle because you were alone?
So there was a Facebook meet and greet group for the cruise that I discovered about a week before the sailing, and I posted, are there any other single women traveling alone? And several people chimed in. And it's interesting because there's 41 million single women, but a lot of times the older we get and we're still single, we're made to feel like an anomaly. And it was very apparent right away that I was not an anomaly. And I made some very good girlfriends on that trip, and interacted with, some of the guys as well. But it was really just about going and enjoying the 80s music and concerts. And so I love the fact that, when my fiance and I eventually met, I was doing something for myself that I genuinely enjoy. And I wasn't, on the hunt. And it's interesting because there was another cruiser, a single woman who was very much on a mission and made that very clear. And after one of the cruises, she met someone online. I think they were engaged like 6 weeks later or something crazy like that. But for me, I think, it was just, especially after all the things I had done in my 30s, it just felt really nice to have it happen in the course of doing something I would have been doing anyway.
You know what's so funny, Melissa, is I share, that's one of my dating tips that I've always given people is, you know, obviously do online dating. But also I always say when you want to meet someone organically, it's important to do things, what I call double duty, doing something you love. That also gives you the possibility to meet someone. And so here you were doing something that you loved. And I will say another thing that I don't know if you realized is not only going to that cruise alone, but also putting yourself out there on that Facebook group saying, hey, I'm single and I'm going. Are there any other single women going? Because some people would not even do that because they would feel like, oh, I don't want people to know that I'm single. So the fact that you did that, I feel like you put it out to the universe. I don't know about you, but that's how I feel.
I kind of. I mean, I think I was doing it more because, you know, I literally didn't know anyone, and I just wanted to see if anyone else was in the same boat, so to speak. And I will say that cruising is a really great way in general to meet people. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean, I know there are single specific cruises, not those, because I've heard some very dicey things about that. But there's something about being on a floating vessel that is very conducive to, you know, conversation. And this particular cruise, I mean, there were singles, couples, you know, different ages, and everybody's just there to really enjoy themselves. Mm-hmm. And so I always kind of joke that I've had better luck at sea than on land, because I did actually meet a previous boyfriend on my very first cruise 13 years ago, who was from the New York area, but we met on the cruise, and he happened to be on Match, and I was on Match at the same time too. So you never know.
Yeah, you never know. So when you met your fiance for the first time, did you feel that instant connection, and did you think, like, this could be the one?
I felt an instant connection for sure. You know, we talked, like I said, it was a brief conversation, but it was, we already kind of knew of each other through mutual friends on the cruise. We had met briefly the night before at the pre-party because a mutual friend was going to say hello, and I went up and I just gave him a hug, you know, nice to finally meet you in person. But the thing that I remember in that initial conversation was how easy it was. And easy isn't really an adjective I would have used to describe really any of my previous relationships, sadly. But it was just very comfortable. And when he reached out to me after the cruise, it was in a very thoughtful, sweet way. He joked that he waited a few days because he wanted to do it in a way that wasn't creepy. And he succeeded. He wasn't creepy when he reached out. But very early on, I really did feel like it was gonna go somewhere. And that was also different for me because I spent most of my previous relationships constantly analyzing and feeling like the other shoe was always gonna drop, which it did. And then eventually got to a place where people would tell me that I was afraid of commitment and my expectations were too high. And ultimately I came to realize they were wrong on both fronts. Because what I was afraid of was committing to the wrong person. And I think what can happen too is once you've been in a number of relationships that don't work, you do start to question yourself. And you say, maybe my expectations are too high. Maybe it's true. But I'm here to say that it's not. Because for the first time, you know, I'm in a relationship where I feel like I can be completely myself. I don't have to diminish myself, because even in this day and age, there are guys that are threatened by strong, you know, career-oriented women, and I don't have to hide anything. It's just easy, as I said. And I think a lot of times when we go through experiences that are anything but easy, you start to question whether what you're looking for, you know, is even possible. And it is. It is.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So what are some key things that you learned from 39 to now being engaged is, like, give me two or three key things that you learned that you think are really important for women to understand about finding love again, and that why they shouldn't give up.
I'd say one of the biggest things is, you know, that it's not just about finding someone who can be a good partner for you, but being the best version of yourself. And I really don't think that even 3 or 4 years ago, I could have been that, for my fiance, because I still had a lot of baggage that I was holding on to from past relationships. Both my parents have been deceased for many years, and I was sort of carrying that grief around with me. So I didn't really have the emotional space to be a good partner. And so I think it is as much about being your best, most authentic self as it is, you know, is this person going to be right for me? So I think that's kind of the one of the first parts of it. And then also realizing, particularly, you know, as we're getting into this stage of life, everyone has baggage. You know, my fiance is divorced, no children, but he's been married before. And, you know, when you're younger and you're fantasy, you know, you want to be the only one that someone's ever proposed to. And I think also keeping yourself open, you know, as you were saying before, and understanding that that's not, you know, that's not a mark against somebody. That's just a fact of life as we get into middle age. And the important thing is, you know, what that person learned from that experience, and not really discounting someone because, you know, I mean, in ideal circumstances, it would have been nice if we had lived in the same city. I had already done the long distance relationship and I didn't really want to do it again. But, you know, when it's there, it's there. And even if the circumstances aren't perfect, you know, allow it the opportunity to grow. And I've often said that it hasn't felt like a long distance relationship because I have felt more connected to him than I have to a lot of the guys I dated who lived across town.
Let me ask you a question about that. 'Cause you know, I don't even know if we mentioned this. You live in New York, New York City. And so were you open before you went on that cruise to meeting someone outside the state?
I can't really say I was. I mean, if I go back and look at blog entries, at entries in my journal, pretty much they all said, you know, my soulmate is here in New York. It just, I was very adamant that, I mean, I'm never leaving New York, and I can't imagine that the person I would be right with would not be from New York. But, you know, never say never. And so I think that's another thing, too, is we kind of have our idea of what we're adamant about and what we're not going to do. But that keeps you closed off to really wonderful things. And I think by the time he and I connected, I mean, I was very clear from the beginning. I said, you know, I didn't want a pen pal. A lot of times when you're dating online, guys want to do the endless back and forth of chatting, IMing, calling that doesn't actually materialize into, you know, in-person interaction. And I think we were both very candid at the beginning that, you know, we're going to give this a real shot and we're going to make an equal effort. When we met up for the first time after the cruise, it wasn't in New York, it wasn't in Florida, it was in Chicago. So that we were on neutral territory, and we were invested, and literally even through the pandemic, we have seen each other every single month for the last 2 years. So I think it's also about coming to a place where you're not one foot in, one foot out. One of my dearest friends likes to say, you have to give a relationship everything you have, knowing it could end tomorrow. And I think that's what we both did from day one.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's a great point. So what would you say to a woman who feels like, you know what, I've reached a point in my life, I've been dating forever, I'm tired, this is exhausting, and I want to give up?
I would say give up. And I don't mean give up in the sense that, okay, it's never going to happen. I would say give up trying, you know, like doing all the mechanisms that surround dating today, because it is exhausting, especially online dating. There is nothing that is more of a buzzkill to romantic ideals, I feel like, you know, than online dating. Just, you know, the hassle of back and forth. And so when you get to that point, and I always felt this way even in my single days, you know, there's a reason people take vacations, because you need to recharge your batteries. And I was always a fan of taking a break from dating. Because it is exhausting because you're at a point in your life where we're genetically wired to just want to be with one person, to not still be out there. And so I would say give yourself the permission to not date and not feel like that's a sign of giving up. It's just a sign of taking care of your own well-being. And you don't have to date to meet people. I think that's another fallacy today. I think people feel like, well, if I'm not doing online dating or matchmaking or whatever it is, I'm not trying. As long as you're out there living your life and doing the things that you enjoy, that's the most important part. And you meet people in the course of doing that. So I think letting go of that idea that, oh, I have to, you treat it kind of like homework and you're going to get an F if you're not out there, combing the scene, and that's not the case.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing you say, I just want to make sure I'm correct, is when you say give up, you don't mean give up completely. You mean, take a break, but still put yourself out there doing whatever, like you did, and doing things that you love, because you're right. You never know where you're going to meet someone. But you still have to put yourself out there, as I always say, because don't think that you're going to meet him by sitting on your couch, because
I've
if
often
he
said
comes
that too.
knocking at the
Yeah.
door, then it's
Yeah.
some crazy person, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
Yeah.
this has been amazing. First of all, Melissa, congratulations again. I'm so
Thank
happy
you.
for you, and
Thanks.
I feel so honored to have interviewed you at before you even met him in your 30s to now. So, Melissa, can people find you?
People can find me at my website, which is melissabraverman.com. My book is out, Notes from Single Gal in the City, which you can find on Amazon. And it's kind of all about the adventures of dating in my 30s. And it goes right up to just before I met my fiance. And then the next book, which is coming out next year, will delve into the deeper into the journey of finding him. But there's no age limit. There's no expiration date on finding love. And I think it's really important to know that, and just know that, be happy and be your most authentic self, and only good things eventually come from that.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Melissa, for giving the ladies inspiration and realizing that it's never too late to find love again. So, ladies, if you would like to meet your own quality man like Melissa, you can sign up for my free masterclass, The Secrets to Meet a Quality Man. And in this free masterclass, I share with you the number one way to meet a quality man, why it's not working if you're doing online dating, and how to easily turn it around. So, if you want to sign up for the masterclass, you can either click right here on the video, or if you're listening to the podcast, you can go to yournextamazingstory.com.
Love today's episode of the It's Never Too Late show? Then head on over to yournextamazingstory.com to continue the conversation, get access to show notes, and get more amazing content.